Sim, are you anxious right now?
Why do you start a show like that? That's the first thing you're going to ask me?
Yes, you are really anxious.
No, I'm not anxious, but I am excited because we have updates. We have great feedback.
Oh, good. Hey, dear listeners, thanks so much for writing in to us and helping us learn to be somewhat qualified, although I don't think I ever will be.
But we do have great feedback. We have great updates to discuss. And also, before we start, thank you so much. I don't know if you guys have listened to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. We put it on our feed last week, the episode with Kristen Bell. It's been crushing download-wise. And there's a link to subscribe to his show. He has Justin Hartley from This Is Us on a current episode right now.
Yeah.
And I think he has Dax coming up. He has Rob McElhaney from It's Always Sunny coming up. And he also has Jennifer Love Hewitt. I mean, it's a great show. Please support Michael.
Michael's amazing. Thank you, dear listeners.
So feedback. We're getting a lot of feedback. In fact, I love when new listeners discover the old shows because we get some feedback on the old shows as well, which we don't really read all the time because we want to be more current. But I do want you to read this quick note that we got from a male listener in South Africa. Anna, just this is more for me. And listeners, please don't fast forward. This is only going to take a second.
Wait, I have to read it? It's a cold read?
This is just for me. Yes, it's a cold read.
Okay, subject is a compliment for Sim on peeing strategy. Just wanted to say thanks to Sim for talking about how he counts in threes when he's at a urinal so he can pee. I've always had the same issue but didn't find anything that worked as well as this. It totally works. I'm on the 8x tables and I go forwards and backwards through them and whoosh, suddenly I can pee. You're a lifesaver and I fucking love the podcast. I listen to you guys every day. I try to drag it out because I never want it to end. Love you guys. Hello from South Africa.
James,
thank you.
James, I'm so proud of you. I know you're 44, but you are like a son to me. And I can't, I swear to God, I thought that when I said this on the air, you made fun of me. And on the Ed Helms episode.
I didn't. Well, you know what I do? If I'm at home, I can't pee. I sometimes will try to trickle the water in the sink a little bit. I know I'm not supposed to waste water, but I save water by not taking showers. So
that's a good trick too. So do you remember the caller, Erin? She's in Pennsylvania. She was talking about the guy that she met on Bumble. They immediately hit it off. They started Snapchatting frequently. 6 weeks in, he told her that he loved her, and she didn't reciprocate because they'd never met in person. They repeatedly discussed meeting, and Erin was really open to that, but plans never materialized. And then a few weeks ago, she told them that she liked him, and his unwillingness to meet in person must mean that he doesn't reciprocate her level of interest. Anyways, he ended up blocking her on social media, and you remember this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But she still has his number, and she wanted to know how to proceed, whether or not she should say something like, hey, that's pretty fucked up. Becca, you and I, we all agree that the guy is immature and that Erin should not put any more effort into it. And you even suggested that he might have a secret, like maybe a girlfriend, and he didn't want to tell. So April wrote in, hi, I've been there. A guy I met online, we chatted on the dating app for a bit and then went to coffee and hit it off. After that, we had plans to meet again, but he never followed through. 3 times he flaked and would say, oops, I forgot, or I can't tonight, change it to another day. And then he couldn't on that day. I would be understanding about it, but then he just up and ghosted me, stopped texting me or responding. I was livid. I had the same urge you did to stand up for myself and tell this guy that you can't treat girls this way. You can't flake out on dates and then fall off the earth without an explanation. Especially after we had met in real life and hit it off and talked about people who ghosted instead of being real. I didn't send him anything, even though I'll admit I typed it out once or twice, because there are some guys who don't deserve to know that we even cared that they acted like giant douchebags. In not responding, sure, I don't get the satisfaction of cussing this guy out and telling him the difference between right and wrong, but I do get to be confident in myself, knowing I don't need to do that to know that I deserve someone better. Fuck him. Also, side note, I grew up in a dysfunctional family, and I'm totally the friend who doesn't say I love you back on the phone. I'm like, okay, see you tomorrow. This is for you, Anna. Because I just wasn't around it growing up. Just my 2 cents on that. Maybe I need some counseling. LOL.
Thank you for writing it. But I think that she brings up a great point in that, like, what's the level of satisfaction going to be? And sometimes you just aren't going to get it.
Absolutely right. Here's another take. I'm going to read this right now. This is from Lindsay. Lindsay wrote, I'm listening to episode 124 with Becca Kufrin. I agree with Becca's advice, which was not to say anything for him. I'm for all women, such as myself, being strong and standing up for themselves. But at this point, I feel like there is not much of a point to it. My gut reaction is that this guy might be catfishing her. If you watch the MTV show Catfish, That is always the case when two people are talking, but one of the people keeps making excuses for meeting up. This might not be the case, but it was my first reaction. Either way, I hope Erin finds someone who will treat her right and want to shower her with affection over the phone and in person. Thank you for everything you do with the show. Please keep up all of the good work. This is from Lindsay. And she wasn't the only person that brought up catfishing. A few other people did as well. But here's the really, really wild part. So last night I get a tweet, and a tweet is from Olivia, who works at Bumble. She works in user support at Bumble, and she wrote, "Unqualified, hi Anna Faris and at Simsarna. I'm a user support specialist at Bumble. I'm listening to this week's episode with Becca and would love to get in touch with Erin about the guy, possibly a catfish she met on Bumble. Erin can reach my team at Bumble." And then Bumble retweeted that or responded to that saying Bumble itself, the official Bumble page or whatever, wrote, "We have a zero tolerance policy for fake profiles and catfishes on Bumble. We would love to help."
Well, thank you guys. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes some of those mysteries won't ever be solved, but it is sort of fun to try to, fun for me. I don't know. Listen, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Do you remember the other call? The other call was with Megan. Megan didn't know how to ask out the guy, her crush at the gym because of his Disney arms. And then she looked him up and she thought maybe he might be married and that whole thing. Right. And then Becca, you and I, we just agreed that, you should just ask him out, be casual about it, that you mentioned something like that. Well...
oh, what happened?
Got an update. Remember we told her you should ask him out and you know what happens?
Yeah.
So she writes, "Hey Sim, he actually asked me out before I had a chance to ask him. He asked if I would want to grab coffee or a drink sometime. It was very non-committal, but we exchanged numbers. We texted a bit, but his text responses were really sporadic. My gut is telling me that he's married or is very, very recently separated. I'm going to play it by ear, continue to express interest, and wait for him to set up a date. I'll let you know when I get more info. Hope you had a nice long weekend, and thank you guys for having me on the show. It was such a pleasure to talk to you guys."
Oh, awesome.
Wait. Then she writes me again.
Oh.
"Hey, Sim. Turns out he is married. Ugh. He still hasn't told me, but there was a picture posted on Memorial Day with his wife and kid where he is wearing a ring. Not sure how I'm going to approach the situation now. Definitely not interested in dating him, but I'm debating whether to bring it up or not. So disappointing. I'm going to see him later today at the gym, so I'm interested to see what happens. Happy Wednesday."
What do you think, Sim?
Wait, Anna.
Oh my God, there's more?
Here's the final update. I just spoke to him at the gym. He came up to me and asked me out for a drink this weekend, to which I responded, "Will your wife be joining us?" Which made him incredibly uncomfortable. He apologized, admitted to being married, and walked away. Definitely glad I found out before going on a date with him. Thank you for the advice.
Damn, that's amazing. We don't listen to our gut enough. I mean, I think, you know.
It's all gut.
It's also,
your gut's always right most of the time.
Because we don't want to believe what we kind of know is true.
Totally.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but I'm really glad that, you know, there was heartache potentially prevented.
Well, she knows for sure.
Yeah.
I wonder if the gym encounters now are going to be awkward.
I mean, do you think it's weird if guys don't wear a ring, like even at the gym?
I don't know. I don't love wearing my ring when I do physical stuff.
I know. That was what I was wondering about. Yeah. But I also know that the gym is sort of a notorious place for, you know, for flirting,
it's a meat market.
Of course.
Yeah.
So
especially Equinox in West Hollywood.
Right. So yeah. So I don't know. I'm glad that things were averted.
Me too. Okay, let's get to the show. And now here's Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero.
How long have you been doing this?
18 years.
Wow, so long. Yeah, before the genre.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sim and I have been, we've been speaking into microphones.
Well, you know what? We were speaking of genre. All the great broadcasters are all like doing podcasts now. People like Bill O'Reilly, some of the real greats, you know what I mean?
Remember Tom Likas?
Tom Likas, sure. I mean, say what you will about Tom Likas, he knew how to fill time.
Absolutely.
He definitely.
Is that true?
Anyone
well, yeah,
else?
He definitely like knew what he was doing. What he was doing was disgusting, but
do you know who Tom Likas is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because like,
but did you guys just, you didn't have a encounter with?
No, but she, don't you do a bit about Tom Likas?
Oh, I just used to talk about his rules of dating. Like he would,
what? I don't
like
know.
One of them, he told men to go around with Tabasco sauce, and once they have sex with a woman, make sure to leave it in the condom. So if they try to stick it back in themselves to inseminate themselves, you know, and have their child.
You know how women do? You know the common move? The always happening move?
I'm having a flashback.
Of a very hot condom.
No. Okay, it must have been, I don't know, 1998. I was in college in my dorm room, and I called into the Tom Likas show.
Hilarious.
Because something that he was saying was making me infuriated. And I thought, well, now's my chance. But I didn't get through.
Let me guess how this story ends. You got through to him. He was like, you know what? You're right. I should rethink my position on women.
And then he was like, where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm in Seattle.
He's like, I'll bring the Tabasco.
And he was like, but do you look like a 16-year-old who wears headgear? And I was like, yes. Yeah. Anyway, God, fuck. Sorry,
so
guys.
So can I tell you what I was going to tell you?
Yes, sorry.
So Moshe, you asked if he could lie to me.
Yeah.
And he had been asking me for about a month and a half if he could climb the roof and put a flag on top of our roof.
Oh, this is a bad story. One that I wish you weren't telling
right
now.
And I was like, no, you can't put a flag on the roof.
Wait, what kind of flag were you pitching?
It's a Nazi flag. And let me just explain. No, it's we have a blue and white house, and it's very nautical looking. And so I had this idea, and we also named our house after the woman who built it. Her name was Mildred, and so we call it Shea Mildred. We've decided that every house should have a name.
I love that.
Yeah,
we need to name this house.
You need to name your house.
I know.
Right.
How about Pauline?
The old,
like an.
That really stopped you in your tracks.
Because she now should I have feel the like name of a glamorous lady. Because this air, you know.
Listen, I'm definitely taking that into consideration. The old house was Casa Vega, but I'm with you with the naming of houses.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. So you want to put a Nazi
very
flag?
No, not
material.
A Nazi flag. That was just a riff. That was one of my classic Moshe Kasher riffs.
So but, because the house is named Mildred, he wanted to put.
So they have these nautical signal flags, you know, and each flag represents a letter that you can, when you're on a ship, you flash it and you can communicate with
or
ships.
Like,
next
I'm
to.
In distress. Or,
exactly.
Or like, hey, I'm friendly. Climb aboard.
Yeah, or Pauline, whatever
Pauline,
you like.
Sure.
And so the M flag is a blue and white flag, an X on a blue on a white flag, a blue X on a white flag. I thought, perfect. M for Mildred, blue and white, fits. Great. Put it up, and it fell apart, so I needed to replace it. So just, this is the context.
Wait, so like a professional person put it up.
Right.
Oh.
It wasn't me.
On the roof.
At the apex of the roof, it now has a billowing M to signify Mildred for all of the people that definitely know that the house is named Mildred.
I love this. Okay, so what happens?
So he keeps asking me if he can replace it, and I was like, no. And then I asked a few of my friends who are like worker, you know, like people who are construction people, and they're like, no, he shouldn't do that.
Bad idea.
Bad idea. He's going to fall.
Then she pivots the questioning to, do
you... Someone's like, oh, my dad's, you know, my dad's best friend just died falling off a roof, and he's a roofer. Like, there's like...
And she
stories
started,
like that.
And Natasha started pivoting the questioning to, do you have life insurance? She was asking me.
Well, and then that's why I told him, I forbade him to do it. And then one day he came back.
And then one day I just decided, you know what? She was busy doing something. And I was like, I really felt like I can do this. You know, like I really felt like.
Yeah.
Because as a man like
sure.
me, who looks like me, kind of a little beta, kind of a little bit hipstery.
Listen.
You know. You take the moments of manhood when you can get them.
Yeah.
You know?
See,
if you can fix a thing, you put a little cock on something.
Yeah.
You feel like, yes.
Yeah.
I no longer have a little cock. And I thought, I can do this. I can really do this. And she was writing, and I burst out one of the window screens, and I climbed onto, I flipped around onto, it's kind of the beginning of a very crumbly gravel high pitched roof area, and I immediately knew I had made a mistake.
Like, ooh.
The moment I got out there, I was sort of scrambling around, and scrambling is a word for
very
sure.
Very steep.
Yeah, and I was like, I've made a mistake, but I can't give up.
I always want to just get to the end of the story.
Don't get to the end of the story.
Stop.
So the end of the story is
why is that?
Because I don't know.
I love this. I love this dynamic right now. This is so like wonderfully classic. It's like, honey, you might be boring people. But the truth is that he's not, because he might fall off the roof after putting up what may or may
okay,
not
you
be
two
a
win.
Nautical
you two
or
win.
A Nazi flag.
Okay.
But go on, please, Natasha.
to Natasha. So maybe I was boring you after all.
I don't.
You chose.
Listen, I don't know. I, you know, I'm still feeling the whole thing out.
Okay, so I'll keep going. You tell me when you get bored. Okay. Tap out.
All right.
I scramble up to the top of the first peak. So the house has like two big peak, big sort of, you know, mountainous peaks, and I burst up the hill, even though I'm like scared and I'm kind of scrambled, like a little bit falling down. I get to the top and I straddle it with my legs, right? Do you see it?
It's like, yes, I do.
Yes, you can see my legs up there with a house beneath me, and I go.
And do you have a flag in your hand?
In my pocket, I have a flag. I'm wearing no socks. I'm in sweatpants. I didn't plan for this, and I have to get to the end of the first peak. Flip over to the second peak and get to the end of that one, which is where the flagpole is.
And there's no turning back at this point either.
There's definitely turning back. At any point, I could have turned back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could have abandoned, which I should have done the moment I put my foot on the roof. But I'm like, here's how I have to move, because I can't just get up. I thought...
Like a beetle?
Similar. How does a beetle move to you?
Well, you know, just, you know, scuttles along carefully.
Yes, so a careful beetle. I would put my two palms on top of, right now the mic is between my chest in the manner that you can imagine. I have to kind of like, you know, put my hands down on the peak of the roof and pull myself along. I get to the end of the first peak. I look down. My hands are bleeding. They are openly bleeding. They are just...
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
What kind of... tile is on the roof.
It's like hot, crumbly,
right.
Rocky.
So it's not like Spanish tile where you're breaking every tile.
No, that would be funny if it was cracking beneath me. It's more of a soft tar with rock pebble
sure,
on top.
Sure,
and
sure.
There's pebbles in the wound.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I can see the flagpole now. I'm at the end of the first peak and the flagpole's there. I'm already bleeding. I'm like, I got to make it to the... I just have to get to the end. So I flip over to the second peak and I'm pulling myself along and I get to the second, to the flagpole, and I'm now 60 feet in the air. Or is that right?
But it seems like you're 250
feet. I'm 780 feet in the air, and I'm not going to replace the flag. I know that immediately upon looking over the peak. I'm like, I'm going back. If I can live, I will say thank you, Lord. Beneath my legs are my daughter, my two-month-old daughter, my wife, everything I've ever cared about, my PlayStation 4, everything I've ever cared about is beneath my legs, and I don't know that I can make I can make it back. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done by a long shot. And I'm my hands are bloody. I don't know if I can physically make it back. I grab the old tattered flag and I put it on the peak and to I turn around immediately. I'm just like, I can't do this. Question?
I'm just thinking, like, dude, this is like fucking Iwo Jima.
Yes, it's exactly like... The stakes are analogous to Iwo Jima. Exactly.
Anyway, go on.
So I grab the old tattered flag and I'm putting it as like a, it's almost like a bandage. Like now I'm still scuttling back. Now I'm just like, all I want to do is get back into the house. If I can get back into the house, you know, I'll never do anything stupid again. I'm pushing myself along. There's a man working on the roof next door and I hide from him. I like try to, I cower because I don't want him to look over and go like, you know, ¿qué es esto? Like, what are you doing? And I just don't want to explain. Like, I'm having an existential / male. I have a lot of... I just had a daughter. I'm feeling older a bit, so I thought I would... I don't want
to... I want my house to be a boat.
It's a maritime thing. Mildred is the woman that built the home.
He does want the house to be a boat, though, kind of.
That is true. So I get to the second peak, and this is the scariest part. When it's time to go from the peak where the flagpole is back to the original peak, I have to kind of do a pummel, like a gymnast kind of pummel move, where I put my hands up on the first peak and flop my legs over. It's the biggest move of the entire thing.
God.
And I'm like falling down a bit, and I'm shaking with adrenaline and stuff. And I scrape myself, blood is coming down my hands. I scrape myself down to the original, like where the window was, and I kind of slide my butt down and I flip into the house, safe, alive.
I love the idea of you flipping into the house.
When he was pitching it to me, it was such a stupid idea. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to go through that top window and then just kind of like flip around. Like he had it in his head that
it
was like.
I did think it was going to be easy. I will say that.
And I would always be like, can you show me again what the plan is? And he would be like, yeah, I'm just going to kind of flip over there. And I'm like, how are you going to flip? Didn't make any sense.
So I get in and I go, there are moments in a man's life and probably a woman's life too, where it's like there are milestones of adulthood. Right, you know, where right. you burst through, like, right. like they say, when you lose your father, a boy becomes a man. Sure, and I've lost my father. And that wasn't even close to the kind of cathartic experience.
Yeah. Is that true? Was it really that cathartic for you?
Well, I was doing I was doing a joke about, yeah, my father's alive and well. No, he's dead. He's very much dead. He's super dead. No, but no.
He's been dead for 20 years.
I was doing a joke about that it was as equal, but it was a big moment of adulthood. It was like, I'm not making a joke about that. It felt like I had passed the final milestone where I was like, I am truly a grown man now. I will never do anything like this again. And I will not tell my wife about this. But then I had wounds on my hands.
I was like, where have you been?
I know. And that's what I was thinking, that like Natasha could come in as like sexy nurse. And she's like, thank you so much for putting that flag up. You're so brave.
That was definitely not the vibe.
Is that what he wanted?
Born so on your hand. Oh my God.
I feel like a failure as a wife, because that would have been so great to just be like, you're so brave.
Well, then you make fun of him later.
She definitely made fun of me a lot. I will say this, it's very funny. I had big wounds on my hands. She was the vibe was not, I'm a sexy nurse.
I mean,
it was recent.
It's like you can still kind of see.
Yeah, you can kind of. But the definitely the vibe was, you're a fucking idiot, not I'm a sexy nurse. And
I have a newborn.
Yeah, you know? I also
and
have
was
a newborn.
No reason to like risk your life.
Definitely not. No reason. Yeah, that is true. It was.
And like I have like a problem with like, I definitely don't want to be a single mom.
For sure. Yeah. No,
it just
I have.
Seemed really stupid.
It was really stupid. But I will say one of the funny parts was the day that it happened. I'm a Jew, big old Jew. Easter Sunday, and I come in with two bloody palm wounds on my hands. So anyway.
Wow. Are you glad he did the whole story?
My point is, I was incapable. No. There's four more stanzas. The point is, I was not capable of keeping that secret even for a moment. Not the least of which because I was bleeding.
I, on the other hand, can keep a secret.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Okay, so I have all kinds of really fucking stupid theories. One of my theories was that it's not a great idea to date a stand-up.
Oh, interesting.
If you're a stand-up?
If you're anybody.
Because those are two different things. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm eating on the podcast.
No. I want to hear,
that's
though,
everyone's
like,
worst
how,
nightmare.
Like, does it, like...
Well, the conventional wisdom is that stand-up comedians are self-obsessed, right?
Really? More than actors?
Well, that is, yeah, that's a great question. But I find if two self-obsessed people find each other, then they can accept each other's self-obsession, and then you can burst through to the other side.
Because I feel like Sim and I will hurt each other's feelings, but our egos, they're so large that we don't actually get our feelings hurt.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that.
Don't you think?
You can't defend me.
No, I just told you like earlier that you have... I don't want to offend our listeners, but I told you that you have some serious fucking mental problems and you just laugh.
But you also said that you are the same and you feel like you
yeah.
also have...
Yeah, exactly.
So don't just put, you know, throw
so
me
I guess,
under the
so
bus.
So what's the thing?
What's the dynamic here, though? Who is
fucked up.
Okay.
We've been friends for a long time,
okay.
Sim and I.
Yeah, 18 years.
Yeah. And Amy is Sim's wife and she's gloriously pregnant and powerful.
Beautiful. I love a pregnant lady. Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
I love a pregnant lady.
What do you mean? I don't know, Natasha. Do you want to explore this?
Yeah, we've explored it together. We go to Vegas and we hire one like every Christmas.
He doesn't seem like he has a big ego.
Oh, he totally does. Oh, my God. He's
Thank
so arrogant.
Thank you for saying that, Natasha. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. He's so arrogant. That's the deception, though. He's like, I went to USC.
Because I went to USC?
I didn't. No, I went to UCSB. Totally different vibe. Strongly
better.
Different vibe. Yeah.
But do you guys have like advice for dating people in the same profession?
Well, the good thing about dating people in the same profession is that they understand your lifestyle. And you have a lot to talk about and you can like make fun of all the same people.
That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. And especially in stand-up comedy, because it's inexplicable to a non-stand-up comedian where you go on the road to make money and then you come home and you're like, okay, now I'm going to go out locally for free. It's like there's no civilian human being that would accept, why would you accept that? Like, I tried to picture the woman that would accept me doing that. Like, I just got off the road where I did stand-up comedy for The Rent, and now I'm going to go to the club and do it for absolutely no money just to, like, have camaraderie.
Just for the high, which is the fucked up thing about what you guys do.
But it's not always for the high either.
You're also developing material. That is part of it too. So there's...
Well, I'm just thinking, because I do think there are comics who, like, want to stay on stage for, like, 2 hours, and there's people who, like how I wanted to make his story shorter. I like things to be brief.
That's why,
and fun.
That's why we got married, actually. I was the briefest man she ever met.
But there's something to that. Like, I just want to, you know, come say hi, and then I don't, like, need it. Like, I don't think I'll die if I... Maybe I would.
I do it on purpose. I, at this point in stand-up, we've both been doing comedy about, what, 16, 17 years?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I... would almost always prefer to stay home, and I won't my brain won't let myself do that. I'll call in my avails to the clubs because I'm like, if I allow that part of me to grow, it will just grow forever and I'll never do stand up again. So I just call in all the time and force myself on. Every time I'm on stage, I enjoy it, but it's the drive over.
You let that part of you that wants to stay home grow. Because
yes.
I've definitely let that grow.
Yeah.
And then it's really hard to get out.
Yeah, it's grown so much. It's actually a human being. And she's right now in a bassinet with a nanny.
Have you guys felt ever the low of feeling like I'm not connecting with the audience?
Or... Oh, you mean like bombing?
Yeah.
No, I've never.
That was my delicate way of putting it.
Never had that. Have you had that? I've never had that.
Of course, we both have.
No,
but doesn't that, like,
of course.
But doesn't that, I want to ask you a little bit more about that, but doesn't it make, when you succeed, of course, like, this feels amazing?
There's an interesting thing that happens with, tell me if you think this is true, Natasha, that happens with bombing. After a while, after you do your, like, Gladwell-esque 10,000 hours, bombing becomes different. Like, a bomb for us at this, like, a true bomb, it has been a long time.
But what's fun is like, you'll, if you notice that the audience is not into you and they've been into everyone else, and then you start getting in your head, then you can be like, wait, how could I, like, win them over?
Right, that's
and
fun.
And so then the pivot.
Like, you just try to connect, or you admit it's going bad, and then you just talk to one person, and then you say it's going bad again. And then you just kind of, like,
right,
dig this thing that you try to get out of. And sometimes with your energy, because usually why you're bombing is, like, your energy's off, I think.
That's true.
Oh, interesting. I admire it in a way that you blame yourself, Natasha, because I would think, I don't know. I don't know what I would be if I would be,
I,
like, fuck the audience.
Well,
like,
no, but that there
that
is.
That shows my insecurity.
No, but no, fuck the audience
myself
is real. You get out and the audience sucks. And then you immediately, especially if you're a comedian like me, who really, I feed off the audience. That's a big part of my performance. If the audience sucks and then my reaction is to retreat inward or retreat to, like, standard, you know, just rote recitation of the jokes because I'm not able to pivot in that terrible suckness of the audience, that's the problem is me, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if they're bad and you, then what Natasha's talking about, you find a bad crowd and you find a trick, you do some magic trick where you can make them good. That's the most powerful experience as a stand-up.
But also, like what I was saying, it just is your inclination as a person. Do you blame yourself? Do you blame, like, there's comedians who, like, will kill and think they do bad, or there's comedians that, like, always bomb and think they're great. Like, there's, like, a perception with comedians.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's like they're tone deaf to their, like, I always think I didn't do very well, you know? And I mean, I have, like, I'm very hard on myself. And
yeah,
I think some people are, like, the opposite.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it just...
But I will say this, like, we have a lot of the greatest comedians in the world are some of our dearest friends, and they're fine to watch kill. I mean, but that's like, to me as a comedian that's been doing it for so long, like, I've seen killing so many times. I love nothing more than to watch a profoundly wonderful comedian eat shit. Like, there is nothing better.
Well, it's just funny.
It's just the best. To watch a great comedian bomb, then you see how funny they are.
But it doesn't happen very often. It kind of happens more with, like, alternative friends who, like, might put themselves in a weird situation.
It's rare, but it's cool to watch because you can see, like, oh, wow. People who can bomb funny for the back of the room, that's a great comedian to me.
That's amazing.
Have you ever tried stand-up?
Fuck, no. I ended up in comedy by total fucking fluke, and I didn't. Then I couldn't get out of it.
Well, do you think you were going to be a dramatic actor? Is
yes.
Was that the idea?
Oh, well, I didn't think I was going to actually make it as an actor. You know, that's me being humble. But I.
She just showed us a headshot. Wow, it's crazy, weird.
But no, I thought my first job in LA was Scary Movie, and I thought, oh fuck, I'm going to get fired. There's no fucking way I can do any of this. And I called my college roommate, and she was like, oh yeah, oh my God, Anna, you can't do that. You're not funny. I was like, I know. But that's how, I mean.
But you happen to have a talent for it, and it just sort of found you.
Well, thank you, Natasha.
It's true.
I really appreciate that. But I think that it was the reason why I don't like to watch a lot of what I do is because I realize that I make really fucking, like, ridiculous faces, and I don't know it. Whatever.
Those faces pay the bills.
I think a lot of times you kind of discover, you know, even in your 30s, like, what you are good at. You know, I don't think it's always like, you know, from the moment you're 12, you know exactly that you're going to do comedy. I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely given me a lot of reward.
I used to want to do soap operas. I was like, I want to be an actress. I want to act in Burger King commercials and be in soap operas. I wanted to do anything, you know?
I never thought I was going to be in Hollywood ever. There's never
been. So then what
idea.
Drove you guys like here? What was the moment?
She took Lyft and I drove myself.
Good.
And we got into a fight about it.
We did, actually.
Wait, can I just tell you one thing about what you were saying?
Yes, please.
I read somewhere that, is it Reese Witherspoon that was in Freeway?
Yeah.
So I read that she thought it was a drama. She was young. And then when she sat in the theater at the premiere, she didn't understand why, like, it was edited for, like, why was everyone laughing? She thought it was like this really serious thing. But, you know, then you just sort of figure it out.
I called my parents during the filming of the first Scary Movie. And I remember telling them, like, yeah, you know, it's funny. It's kind of raunchy. But there's also some really, like, scary, scary moments.
Like, it's kind of like a scary movie.
Some really scary moments.
Yeah. Yeah, what a fucking ding-dong I am. Hey, you guys, can we play a game?
Yeah.
Okay. Natasha, you're going to go first. We're going to do deal breakers. Natasha?
Yes.
First deal breaker goes to you, but you have to imagine that you're single, and I know that you're both sitting on a furry beanbag.
Unimaginable for me. I can't even picture it.
In a room that's unfurnished, in a mattress on the floor.
There's Celeste pizza on the ground. There's grapes.
Yes. Isn't that appetizing? Wouldn't you like a paper towel and a half-baked pizza?
I'm
going to
eat one when Moshe answers his question.
Okay. First one's for you, Natasha. He sleeps with his eyes open.
How's that a deal breaker? That's a psychotic person.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. You're right.
Deal breaker.
Why?
Because it seems like it's a symptom of a deeper problem that I don't want to deal with.
Okay. All right.
I want someone healthy and fun who doesn't sleep with their eyes open. I'm sorry. I just do.
One time on a camping trip, I found my best friend asleep with her eyes open. And it was terrifying. But
did she do it every time?
Well, I didn't like sneak up on her every time. I mean, right. Maybe I did. I don't know.
I mean, our baby sleeps with her eyes open and it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah, she sleeps with her eyes open and a knife in her hand. It's a little bit weird. Natasha does, like, well, I can't
tell. You've got a go-getter.
Yeah, a real go-getter. She's going to be in Scary Movie 19. She's going to be the plot of Scary Movie 19. All right.
Moshe.
Yes.
She has a tattoo of Warren Buffett on her left breast.
Oh, that's not a deal breaker at all. I'm Jewish. I love a woman that cares about investments. I'm in.
I read he doesn't give his daughter any money.
I like that about him, actually. He's given them actually enough money to
be rich
for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Just not all the Buffett money.
Oh, that's not true.
I'm sure she's set up.
Really?
Wait. You guys have a daughter, right?
We have a daughter.
Okay, I can't wait in like 15 years from now to play this back for her.
There's a lot of ribald and risque content to play back for her when she's 15. She's going to have a reckoning in a few years.
Natasha. He sings Journey's Don't Stop Believin' When he orgasms.
Okay, I was wondering, ever?
Just at karaoke, it's a deal breaker. So definitely when he orgasms would be a deal breaker.
Oh my God, that's my father.
Wait, can you put it on speaker?
Answer it.
No. Oh. Please, I want to see how... Oh, he's so sweet and he's so annoyed with me because I haven't been calling him back. I'm so sorry.
I can tell you were raised well. I want to hear a conversation with
really?
Like a healthy...
You can tell I was raised well?
Yeah.
Natasha, deal breaker.
Well, you might be the first person to say that.
Natasha, deal breaker. She was raised well.
It seemed like you had a happy childhood.
I did. I'm really close with my parents.
That's
I just,
cool.
I just,
you Are you
know,
an only child?
No, I have an older brother, but, you know, I'm still, you know, whatever, a fucking actor, mess, whatever. She pronounces your name, Moshe, this is for you.
Okay.
She pronounces your name as Moesha.
That's a hard deal breaker and not even a joke. Like, I have experienced this in my real life, and I have an actual set of rules when people think they're funny to call me Moesha. I say, you have three Moeshas in our relationship. And you can call me that three times, and at the end of the third, I cease contact with you, and we'll never speak again. I've done it before, and I
used all three.
I remember I was in the Tel Aviv Opera once when a girl said to me, she did the third Moesha, and I said, "We're done," and I've never spoken to her since.
Moshe, you went to an opera in Tel Aviv.
I did.
Don't buy it.
It was not good.
Well, here's one thing. Oh, sorry.
No,
I forgot we were playing a game. I was just going to tell you an anecdote.
Yeah, no, tell me.
Because isn't
me.
This about relationships?
Yes, of course.
Well, because Moshe made it seem to me like when he first came over for our first date, he brought over an Ingmar Bergman film. And so I thought, oh, he's like really into like...
It's called the hipster bait and switch right there.
Leg on back. The house.
Tell him what the second movie was.
Rambo?
Rambo First Blood.
Oh, so it's my like, God. But that's like double downing.
But Rambo's okay,
but... You can do it all.
And I
fuck
and,
you.
And then he stopped playing video games for 2 years until I decided to marry him. Yeah,
I did not stop playing video games.
Or I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I kept them from you, maybe.
Ooh.
That I could keep from her. All right.
But I'm just waiting. No, I'm just saying. So you at the opera sounds really funny to me.
It was, it was a
that
thing.
Sounds like courting Moshe.
No, that was rejecting Moshe because you called me Moesha.
Okay, Natasha.
Yes.
Next one. He's a conicologist.
Colonicologist.
Colonicologist.
Fuck
is this
you,
from
Sim.
The...
I didn't even know that was a word until earlier
true.
Today.
I know. Wait, will you say it again?
I think it's colonicologist, right, Cassie?
He works on colons.
Colons. Yes, he puts up freeway colons.
No, you say colonic.
He gives colonics for a living.
Gives colonics.
Right.
Sure, I could accept that. Sounds like we'd have a nice lifestyle. We probably go to France a few times a year.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Well, but you know what? This is like deep in the valley.
Oh, it's in the valley.
Oh, you didn't say that.
For
no,
God's sake.
I'll never live in the valley.
All right. You could have said he's a movie star. He lives in the valley. Deal breaker. We're out.
His practice.
And
is
he's
in the
not
valley?
Actually a doctor. He just, you know, squirts.
Squirts.
That's
liquid
a,
up.
That's a no. Deal breaker. Yes. That's a deal breaker.
Because of the valley.
The valley and that he works for free.
He doesn't work for free.
He's not a doctor.
It's just he's not a doctor, but he does help a lot of people in the industry.
So he's like a nurse kind of or something. He's like that guy in Dear John.
Sure.
Okay. I'll give him a shot. He can have two dates.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see
two
where
dates,
it goes.
Two dates, three colonics. It's like a Price is Right vacation.
This is for you, Moshe. She was in a cult.
Oh,
come on. Excuse that.
Yeah, that's not a deal breaker for me.
That's
no.
cool.
No, I was...
You guys are developing a pattern here, by the way.
What is the pattern?
Well, we'll examine it later.
Okay, great.
No, tell us.
Well, the pattern is that Natasha is shutting everything down.
Well, that's why I feel so grateful to be with her, because she shuts it all down. I will accept anything. Anything. No standards. Zero. Below no standards.
Well, you know? I mean, that's how you would always date anyone, right?
It's not that I would date anyone. It's that I would sleep with anyone who was willing. That was my one criteria was, are you willing and interested? Great. So there were some beauties and there were some other situations. And then I found my lady love.
All right.
That was a nice, hard, awkward silence.
I can't even believe that you didn't inquire about the what kind of cult, though.
Oh,
which I hadn't really thought about. But
the thing is, you said she was in a cult,
right.
And I can forgive anyone anything for being in the past.
Yes.
As long as it's not informing our relationship now, I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care at all.
All right. All right, all right. Clocking that, clocking that.
Yeah. What was the call?
I don't know.
Blue Oyster?
Listen. We'll figure this out okay. later. Okay, so he, Natasha, this is for you. He suffers from anatiophobia, the fear that somewhere, somehow, a duck is watching you. He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
He's afraid there's a duck watching him.
But just every once in a while, there's like night terrors.
Well, we live on a pond, so that would be very difficult for her.
Again, I'm not up for it. It's a deal breaker.
Yeah, she's got like a paper thin deal breaker.
Woo!
If I get a bad cold, she starts packing up the car.
Moshe?
Yes.
She has a small succulent on her bedside table. Instead of watering, she pees on it.
Oh, that is a deal breaker. I won't accept that. No, that's... I don't care about the peeing on it. It's like, why is she doing that? First of all, it's a succulent, so it's a cactus?
Yeah.
How is she getting that close with her, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on there?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, she hovers.
She hovers over a cactus
also,
and pisses on
it. She takes
on
incredible vitamins.
Okay.
The rationale is that, you know, it's like providing nutrients.
Oh, she's like a hippie woo-woo person that's like, oh, this is actually somehow...
She's a woo-woo.
This is better for the cactus if I piss on it.
Yeah.
What's she look like?
Oh, yeah, she's pretty cute, yeah.
Pretty cute?
But listen, she's let's say she's smoking.
Is she a Silver Lake 10?
A Silver Lake 10? Please don't ever say that again.
Yeah.
That actually, him saying that's a deal breaker.
Oh, you're out? Wow. We just got divorced. I don't know, that's a little crazy for me, but you know what? I'll accept it, fine. If I love her, I'll stick with it. She pisses on it? All right, whatever, I'm in.
All right. Natasha... he calls his mommy. He calls his mom mommy.
I was going to say, I mean, I do call my mommy. I love her, but...
But he calls his mom mommy.
He's very close with his mom, so we're almost there anyway.
I don't call her mommy.
So I think that I would... If you did, knowing how you love your mom, I'd be okay with it.
Okay.
So like, that's not a deal breaker.
Mommy... I don't know what detergent to use.
He could say it like once a month.
Hey, mommy.
Hello, mommy. It's February 4th, so you know what day it is. It's mommy day.
Well, his mom's deaf, so they sign. So I guess if he was called... Is there a different sign for mom and mommy?
No, there's not.
So...
No, I'm good. I'm in. I'm just under the wire.
Wait. This is not your question.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
I'm going to let this one slide.
Okay.
Because men who love their moms, they're usually good boyfriends.
What if he's like, it's like you guys have slept together and it's like, I don't know, 7:39 a.m., right? And the phone rings and you see him like pick up his phone and he like walks to the bathroom. He's like, hey, mommy, what's up?
Very specific.
You know, I don't know if I could deal with that.
Mommy. And you hear him say like, mommy, I got this super hot chick over. Yeah, she's really funny. Nah, yeah, no, I'm going to make her an ego. Yeah, just like you told me, mommy.
It's bordering. It's definitely on the borderline.
It's so funny, Natasha, that this is the one that you are like, okay with.
Well, I didn't know how often he was going to say it, I guess.
All the time.
Yeah, sorry, that might be a deal breaker.
For me, it isn't. I would.
You
find
were just roasting me because it wasn't.
I try to make these things challenging, but I don't know. I think.
All right. So for you, it isn't.
Well, I think eventually, if I got the courage, if I liked him enough, I would be like, So that's funny that you call your mom mommy. Does everyone in your family do like this? Other siblings call your mom mommy too, and.
How about this? Like, he calls his mom Barbara, but he calls you mommy.
We're going to get to there.
Okay, great.
Wait, right. So Anna, would you try to convince him to stop doing it?
No.
Is that your approach?
No. It would just be a feel it out situation. I may seem like I'm an incredibly strong, empowered woman, but truthfully, no, I'm needy and I just want to please and I want people to like me. So
your parents loved you too much for you to be a stand-up comedian, and
I guess so.
want to bomb on stage every night.
We like you, mommy.
Well, that brings us to our next deal breaker. She calls her dad daddy. And this one's for you, Marsha.
Oh, tell your story.
Well, there was one.
You love your stories. There,
do you want to just tell the punchline without context? It seems to be the way you like storytelling. Hi, this is the moth, and I never saw men in the same way again. Thank you. Good night.
I bombed on the moth. I'm really bad at stories.
I bet you did.
I'm not good at them. I don't know how to do it.
And that was the last time I prayed. Wait, what happened? That's it. Good night. Thank you. I did once, is this a dirty or a clean?
Dirty.
Okay. I did once go on a date with a woman and she was like, we mentioned her father and she was like, my father died when I was 14, the piece of shit. I wish he died when I was 12. And I was like, oh my God. Like that was the beginning of the date. And I was like, okay. And then we went out to eat. And then later that night we did have sex and she was literally talking to me, literally in bed with me going, daddy, daddy, like a Muppet baby. And I am up. I was like, could you hide your psychological disorder like one layer beneath the subconscious? Like, I can't have a one-to-one. I know exactly what this is. I'm a very open, like, sexually person. That's the only time I've ever told a person, hey, you gotta dial it back on the role play thing. It's not working for me. Like, we gotta go
like
adult.
A Muppet baby.
Straight up. Like a different voice. Like, it was crazy.
I feel like you're making it more guttural than she. She probably was like trying to be a little more sexy.
No, it was like,
ooh,
it was
daddy like that. Ooh, that's good, Natasha.
It was so.
He's doing like, wait, daddy.
Hold on. Do it again.
Daddy, don't die.
No,
not right now.
No,
daddy.
What you're doing right now is
daddy.
Sexual. What you're doing right now,
daddy,
sounds sexual.
No.
I like it. I'm interested.
Natasha,
I'm aroused.
Natasha and I are gonna have a daddy off.
A daddy off.
Oh. Daddy.
Daddy.
No, it was more like,
daddy. I want Blue's Clues.
That's what it was like. It was so creepy.
That's the only kinds of people he dated before he met me.
There was some wild nights. But I did. I said to her, I go, I felt bad because I was like, I don't want to like, I know that being intimate with a person is like a very vulnerable situation for a person. And I didn't want to.
Sounds like it wasn't for you.
I just didn't know what to do. It was really, it was not working for me.
That's why I don't like casual sex. I don't want that thrown on me.
No.
I want to like know someone and know they're not going to do something like that when I'm naked.
Well, yeah, when somebody is like entering your body.
Yeah. And then they just start.
It's like, I don't, you know, it's maybe it's a little different for, you know, the.
I was sweet about it. I wasn't like, hey, stop it with the daddy, you dumbass. I was nice.
I bet you were just like, oh, I'm about to come. Shut
up, like,
bitch.
Don't stop believing daddy.
Oh, gosh. So is it a deal breaker, Mush? Sounds like a yes. Because I think she was embarrassed by it, right? Like if you're having sex with someone and you start doing that, because some guys do think baby talk is sexy.
Oh, so, I think she was proud. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, yeah. Natasha, but don't you think? Like,
you think
I
she
think
was proud?
Listen, yeah. If she had given me the baby talk without the, I wish my dad had died when I was 12, I maybe could have rolled with it a little better, but it was just like, I see what's happening here and I don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Natasha, he has his high school soccer trophies in his room.
Oh, my God. That's a deal breaker. I don't even care if he's like
but
so cool.
But he was
cool.
Like a forward.
You okay, know? You know what? If he was doing it, ironically, I would. Because that's kind of funny.
I think it's pretty kind of funny. I don't know.
But if he was seriously proud of being a soccer star when he was at AYSO and on in childhood.
AYSO.
Like, my brothers were in that.
Okay. Moshe, on the second date, you both go back to her house and she has candles lit everywhere. Not to set the mood, but because she doesn't have electricity.
Oh, she's like broke? That's interesting. I'm more concerned that they're already lit from a fire safety perspective. But no, I think I would be able to get down with that. I'm in.
You definitely would.
Yeah, okay. I kind of like a little bit of a mess.
Okay, but here's another twist. She believes that electricity causes cancer.
I'm out. Go piss on a cactus, you crazy motherfucker. I'm gone.
Moshe hates like woo-woo, anything, you know.
Although I've gone to Burning Man for 18 years in a row.
Gemstones.
I do like it, but I also hate
essential oils.
I love it
meditation.
And hate it. I don't mind meditation. I'll tell you a funny story. Actually, this you could say.
Do you have 20 minutes?
Oh my God. I have a friend who does transcendental meditation, and we drive over here to surf together sometimes. We drive to the west side from the east side, and he's twice now done this thing where about 10 minutes into the drive, he's like, okay, you want to put a podcast on or something? Because I'm going to do 20 minutes of meditation while I'm driving. That's like that's etiquette-wise like truly unacceptable, right? He's going to meditate in the car while I drive in silence.
But wait, not silence because he wants to put a podcast on.
What, he's allowing me that so that I'm not like furious.
Does he want you to use headphones? This is the first time hearing of this.
No.
It sounds like you might need an audience.
When I'm driving with a friend, he's got to like...
Listen, I need an audience too, but...
It's not about attention.
No, that's rude. I think that's rude.
Would you be down with that?
No, okay, but it sounds like you like this person.
I mean,
you drive
did.
From the east side to the west side.
Well, he likes to go surfing.
Oh. Okay. All right. I wouldn't be crazy about that. That would be weird.
Yeah.
And also, I'm suspicious of, and it's because it makes me vulnerable, the idea of meditation. It makes me feel like when people talk about it, my friends that are into it, not that I have any friends, but I've heard about it, friends and meditation.
We're your friends, Mommy.
Thank you. Thanks, Daddy.
Stop it.
You have to stop it.
Daddy,
you've got to stop it right now.
Meditate,
this isn't
Daddy.
Oh, Daddy.
Let's surf.
Daddy, wait. Yeah, you... Come on, take a surfing. I bet you snowboard or ski too.
I just climb roofs and surf. That's it.
But do you like to rock climb?
So, what is this, like the horniest extreme sports girl ever?
I bet you read.
I do read. Ingmar Bergman. I watch Ingmar Bergman exclusively.
I'm sorry. I'm just the worst. But it sounds to me like, Moshe, you have a higher acceptance. You know what I should say? Is that your threshold of getting laid seems just a little lower.
You say higher acceptance?
Your wife.
I say lower standards. It depends on your nomenclature.
Well, listen. It sounds like your wife has thought a few more things through. I guess.
I'm just not judgmental. I'm an open-minded person.
Well, also... He's thinking of these people for sex, right?
I'm not thinking of anybody for anything.
For
it's for your game.
I was thinking of marrying each of them. That was what my answers were based on.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So before we get to the call, let's quickly mention your special on Netflix, which is so funny.
Daddy. Right?
Yes, Mommy.
Will you tell us about your new stand-up special that you have with your wife?
I absolutely will. It's called The Honeymoon Stand-Up Special, and it's streaming now on Netflix. It's a three-part stand-up comedy special where my lovely wife does a half an hour of stand-up, and she crushes. Then I do a half an hour of stand-up, and I crush it. And then we come to the stage together, and we do
live relationship counseling.
And I saw it, and you guys are fucking great.
Thank you so much.
It's truly an honor to have you guys here.
It's an honor to be here. People love that third part the most. I mean, I love our stand-up. I obviously like my own as well. But that third part where we're together on stage, I think people just love. It's kind of like what you guys do. Like, it's this interaction between people that love each other and getting roasted, and it's really fun. But I think we're probably a little bit harsher than you guys, because the whole thing, the episode is called The Couples Roast. It's a three-part, three-episode special, which is the first time I think that's been done. And our episode is The Couples Roast. So we're not even pretending to be sensitive. We're just like ripping couples to shreds.
It's absolutely hysterical.
Watch it on Netflix. It's streaming now.
So we are going to get to calls right now, and you guys are going to be perfect with this. So we're going to call Carly first, and Carly is in Denver, and she's 24.
Is she waiting for a call?
She is. And Laura, would you mind turning the computer around so we can, and maybe the volume, just a couple of things down. Down. Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Carly, it's Sim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm going to introduce you to Anna.
Hi, Carly.
Hi. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys chose my question. This is crazy.
I want to have Anna introduce our special guest to you.
Yes, we have Natasha Leggero. Is that right?
Sure.
Oh my gosh. I literally just watched the Netflix special last night.
Well, well, well. We appreciate you watching.
That's crazy.
And Masha Kosher.
You had it right. All this whole time you've been pronouncing my name correctly.
Fuck.
And then when the pressure was on, that's when you fell apart.
But listen, can you guys pronounce my name?
Anna Faris.
Fuck you.
I actually read an article on the way here that told me how to pronounce it.
It's Moshe Kasher, as you've been pronouncing perfectly correctly this entire time.
I'm sorry.
Hi, Carly.
Carly, did you like our special?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
Okay, you're the best. What a great guest this is.
I know, it's perfect. So Carly, tell us what's going on with your friend, and we're going to try and help you.
Yeah, awesome. We've been friends for about 10 years now. We met in high school, and you know, even with like moving for college and all that stuff, we stayed really close. And I probably just get along with him better than pretty much anyone else I've ever met. And there's definitely been feelings on both of our sides, but kind of just the timing has never matched up. So now I'm just wondering, you know, I haven't really met anybody else I like better. It seems he hasn't either. Is it kind of worth risking like our 10-year friendship to say something, or
can I take
would
this
it be
one?
Best to like preserve our current relationship?
You need to wait for him to bring it up.
What? No. Definitely not.
That's what I would
do.
Why?
Good start.
Why should she wait?
Because I just think it would be better. And I think you could just start like when you're around him, maybe being like a little flirty, maybe like touch him once in a while and see how he acts instead of you like. And then if he's like, hey, that's weird. And it's like, oh, sorry. Then it's like instead of being like, listen, we need to talk.
But wait.
I think.
Sorry.
No, you Natasha. Tell me. Well, my instincts might be off.
Well, Carly, so have you guys both been in relationships since? Is he a player is what I'm asking?
No, not like literally the opposite of that. I dated someone super briefly like a couple years ago, and like just he was way into it more than I was, so kind of ended that. And actually, it was during that same time period. My friend went on like a couple dates with a girl and then decided he didn't really like her. But that's really been it for either of us. And neither of us have been in anything serious this like whole time.
So you guys are kind of like generally like you might describe yourselves as sort of like both a little bit reserved, not necessarily like an aggressor.
Probably. I mean, I definitely have more dominant of a personality, I think. But
oh, yeah.
Like when it comes to like guys, like I'm like literally the worst. I never know what to do.
I have a thought. Can I? May I?
Yeah, of course.
I disagree strongly with my wife. I think these kinds of situations, people get locked into a weird psychic like stalemate where both people want to say a thing, but they're so afraid of saying the thing that they... And it's like after 10 years, hasn't your friendship, doesn't it have enough structural integrity to be able to brave the rapids of somebody saying, I think I have feelings for you. Do you feel the same way? You know, M. Scott Peck says in The Road Less Traveled that all true love takes courage.
All right.
No, I'm serious though. Love takes courage, and you have to make a leap. And why not make a leap?
Hold on, I have a good idea.
Okay,
Carly, what's he like? Is he shy?
He's I would say shy when it comes to like these matters. Like, I'm sure like he's liked other people in like during this time. Just like I've had crushes here or there. But he is like, won't talk about it really. He's like a very, like probably one of the most mature, like responsible people I know, like overall, just like a really solid, really smart
guy.
We
get it. You're really in love with him, but is he, no, you're like, he has so many great qualities.
I'm very hesitant to say that.
But I guess my question is if his personality is like forward with women in general, then if he had feelings for you, I think he would be that way with you maybe. But if he's not and he's really shy.
That's not true.
Really?
Yeah, he's because definitely he's, not.
Oh, well, he's not. So it doesn't even matter.
He's not like outgoing and gregarious with women.
No, he's like outgoing in terms of like he like is good in like social situations, but not like I've never seen him be that way with a girl.
Okay.
Anna, what do you think?
Do you guys live in the same city?
We don't. We, like, that's kind of been one of, like, the issues for all of this is, like, we, you know, the timing has never matched up that we live in the same city. We currently live, like, about 8 hours driving apart. So that's another thing is, you know, is it worth to say something when we don't even live in the same city?
Do you talk on the phone every day?
We talk quite a bit. Not so much lately because I just started a new job and he's in like his last like bit of grad school right now. But we talk quite a bit, not necessarily every day. During college, we would talk almost every day.
What does he study in grad school?
He's getting his PhD in biomedical engineering.
Yes, you should tell him. Definitely tell him. Tell him.
Totally. I changed my mind now. I didn't realize.
My thought here is, what is the true risk of telling somebody you have feelings for them?
You have an awkward friendship for the rest of your life. But if you're 8 hours away.
No. Like, here's the thing. I think that Carl, like, because there's always these elements of nostalgia that you have, especially if you're in a transitional time in your life where you look back on like, oh, what, like, that's the one that got away, or what could that have been? And without actually being completely practical in any way. And so, and I'm not saying that it's not in your case at all, but I do think that that's something that, you know, maybe you think about. And I think that, because we don't know him and sort of his, like, the like level of ego, I feel like if he's getting his PhD, he might have a healthy ego, because I come from a fucking family, these people. But
with PhDs?
Yeah, Natasha. Yeah, I do.
I'm lusting after your good childhood.
I don't think a group of people with PhDs has ever been referred to as these people before.
But I think that, like, I would love to say if he was in the same town and you guys had an environment to sort of nurture a relationship, I would say yes, like, send him a cute, like, a letter that said, like, you know, I want to fuck.
What a lovely letter that would
sorry,
be.
Sorry, Carly. But you know, like,
on
like
a pile
like,
of biomedical engineering equipment.
I think that,
this is really
I don't know.
Carly,
not
how do
hard
you
at
okay,
all.
Moshe, I'm kind of with you on this. I've kind of kept quiet for a while right now, but I really feel like
she should.
She has to say something.
There's no risk. Okay.
There's absolutely no risk.
But what's the risk?
Is heartbreak.
So what? She already doesn't have him.
Are you willing to move to his city? Because the 8-hour drive seems inconvenient.
I've got a classic Moshe story. I read that book, The Road Less Traveled, and that line that real love always takes courage stuck out to me so much that I contacted a person who just, I had this exact same situation where it was always, are we, aren't we? And I finally reached out to her and said, I want to give it a try with you. And I'd never been successful in love. I've never had a relationship. And she rejected me. She said, no, you've led me on for too long. I'm not interested anymore.
And you guys aren't friends anymore.
And yet I disinfected that part of my life such that the next serious relationship I had was you. And I married that person. And I had all of this, like, it wasn't that she was blocking me. It's that I'd never taken a moment of true courage in a dating milieu. When I did that, I was then ready to truly connect with someone. So even if this thing doesn't work out, the action is worth it.
That's
okay, we need
advice.
To cut that clip and play it for everyone. That was perfect. It really is.
It's true
for
me.
It is. Super solid.
Oh, so I'm so glad we helped you.
Yeah. I don't know why. My gut, I feel a little dubious about this guy. It'd be a fucking amazing move to find an appropriate way to say, I've felt a deep connection. I don't know. I'm such a fucking, I don't know.
Can I pitch something?
Yes, please.
I think, Carly, it should be said in person. What do you think, Moshe? You said yours over email.
That's kind of what my thought is, too. Yeah.
Because we have known each other so long. Because there's a chance if you say it in email, he thinks about it and could say yes, and then it could not feel right, you know, because you guys are so far away. Like, you have to, I mean, maybe I'm too practical, but I do think, like, what's your end game? Like, are you going to move to where he is?
Well, also, in person could lead to, like, a weird, because there is, like, a male-female thing where it's like, I have feelings for you, and then he's like, well, I don't really have those feelings, but I am a man, so let's sleep together. And then now it's real awkward, Carly.
Oh, that's a really true. Good point.
Well, just prepare yourself for that.
Oh
yeah, for that being.
Oh Carly, this is a tough one. But do you think...
Whoa.
But Carly, I do think about, though, like the initial idea of weighing sort of whatever fulfillment he actually gives you in terms of friendship and what nostalgia and sort of and futurizing ideas could be in your own brain. Because an 8-hour drive, that's a long time, and I just don't want you to confess your love and then feel completely exposed. I don't know,
Carly. I know this is a lot.
I know.
Are you okay
I'm
with
sorry,
this?
Carly.
No,
fuck.
She's getting all.
We were all vague.
She's got to examine all sides, yeah. And then you've got to make your own decision.
Listen to this back and just play it a couple of times, and then I think that I like Moshe's. I think we should go with Moshe's advice.
Yes.
Jump into the fire.
Yes.
Jump into the
but
kid.
Anna,
yeah, it's
Anna
true.
Makes sense.
It's
Anna,
true.
But
it's
Anna,
like,
you make
why
perfect
the fuck
sense
not?
As well.
It's,
also, what is heartbreak? Everybody experiences heartbreak.
It's
because
we're
get
all fucking
it.
Old here.
Yeah. You get over heartbreak. Heartbreak happens, and then you get over it. And then you're like, oh, okay, cool. I went through heartbreak.
Yeah, it's so easy for us to say that now.
Right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Maybe
it is
I'm
pretty
right.
awful when you're young. It is pretty awful when
you're
young.
You're in my fucking house.
But I will say, anytime I meet a person that's like, I'm just so upset because I went through a breakup. I'm like, but they all break up unless the one that doesn't. And then even that one sometimes breaks up.
So
it's
what
like,
do you do for a living?
I'm a broken man. I'm a stand-up comedian. And I sing karaoke. I sing Journey in karaoke.
Hey, Carly, thank you so much.
Carly, please keep us posted.
Yeah, no, thank you
And we
guys.
Love you. And thank you so much for doing
Good luck.
This. So, so appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thank you.
Maybe you guys could watch the Honeymoon special together. And then that could really contextualize your relationship.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye.
You so much, Carly. I think it's one of those tough questions where we have only the basic amount of information.
But everyone seemed to have an opinion.
Oh,
that's
of
why
course.
I thought,
no. But if we knew a little bit more who he was.
Right. No, that makes perfect
if
sense.
If he is a person who has, you know, whatever, like a lot of ladies.
Right.
Or
if he
whatever.
Was some bro, it'd be like, obviously, if he wanted right. to have sex with you, he would have had sex
but
with you.
But she's in love right. with the guy. The end result should be the same. She should tell him.
Yeah. I just think I always think taking the risk is worth it,
yes.
even if it doesn't go your way.
Although I will say on your behalf, or on counter to what you're saying, Moshe, you are the man. And it is kind of
yes.
traditionally. Your role
yes
to,
but what does that mean
yes.
a woman can't take a big risk
I just
why?
Think that men if they were interested you guys are so desperate and so
no,
horny
no
that if
at
you
a 10-year at a 10-year friendship it's not about horniness anymore
yes you're, exactly
it's not about like trying to get laid
but neither
at all.
Of them have girlfriends
I know but
or
you
boyfriends.
get scared you get locked into this pattern of being frightened I used to go on out with this girl I went on like 10 dates with her and I was a very sexually confident man and for some reason this girl I just could never get past the
daddy
once yeah it was not daddy that one but once the awkwardness was established it grew and grew and grew and I never hooked up with her we just stopped seeing each other
I don't know. I just don't want
men and women are very different.
That is a good point, and it's never been made before.
We're gonna get feedback for sure.
I just think that I have a very old-fashioned view that women should be pursued.
That is an insane thought.
I know. I can't help it. I just
why
just
because
what I
they
think.
Have a vagina, they should be pursued.
I don't know. It just feels right to me.
Okay, fair
I can't
enough.
Help it.
I hear you.
I mean, it's probably wrong, and maybe my daughter won't be that way, and I hope she's maybe not. You know, I have girlfriends who've asked men out before. I just don't think I could do it.
I'm coming off so progressive, but I did see a thing the other day where a woman did a proposal video to her boyfriend, and I was like, against my most like progressive nature, I was like, ugh, come on, lady, don't do that. I know.
Come on, lady. It's embarrassing.
With that kind of distance, too, I don't know.
Would you propose to a man, Anna?
I don't know.
I'd have to be so confident, and I'd kind of have to not respect him.
Oh, do you know that she proposed to me, by the way? That's our meet cute.
But I'm old-fashioned.
I of course, I want to be desired, but I also want to feel empowered. We're at this crazy gender, like, this like, I don't know, the volcano right now of identity and what our positions should be or what we think they should be or what our parents think they should be. And
I think by letting the man be in charge, you get both.
Wait, nightmare.
Can I just finish? Because then they think that they're like in charge, even though then you be a feminist and you make sure that your agenda happens, even though
they fall off the fucking roof.
What if you're gay?
Well, you know, it's whatever the dynamic is.
But that's about what if you're both the dynamic?
I mean,
this is straight, like,
so there's probably feminine.
But wait. Yeah, wait. So do you guys not, I mean, sure, like you guys must play into some degree of like traditional roles.
She calls
even
me daddy.
Though...
I mean, yes, that is true.
But I do think that it's like, so for instance, today we had some people installing curtains and I was playing this podcast that I really like, The Daily, and it's whatever, a newsy podcast. And it was about Bill Cosby getting convicted. And I had this instinct of feeling like, oh God, I should turn this down. Like, these worker guys who, you know, I'm making them
You made the curtain installers lunch?
Yes. And I had this weird feeling
very
inside.
Nice.
I'm
there
really
so,
nice
by
person,
the way, there are
Natasha.
So many layers of gender roles happening in this story right now. Like Bill Cosby getting convicted,
so
you making
I'm
lunch for the curtain
this loud
people.
Podcast, like that's like about sort of, you know, the women outside of the courtroom celebrating because of Bill Cosby, and it occurs to me like, oh God, is this gonna make them nervous because they turned their music down because they thought, oh, maybe we should let her like listen to her podcast, and I thought, God, I should turn mine down because this is kind of a gender sensitive issue. And then I thought, why does that occur to me? Why has it been like sort of instilled in me to be nervous about sort of listening to this commentary?
Amen. It's like, well, yeah.
I don't know.
Convicted of like horrifying sexual assault, and you're like, I want to protect these guys from getting upset about
that. I know, like, I
that.
Like, I hope they, you know, they don't feel like they raped anybody. I hope they don't.
And P.S.
You know,
like, I don't want to be over. Not to be over prescriptive too, but like, it does seem to me, and Natasha, I love you, and I love your brain, but it does seem to me that there's some part of like the man is responsible for pursuing the woman always that is connected to like
yes,
to Bill
yeah.
Cosby going,
yeah,
oh,
right,
I'm a pursuer.
Right.
I can pursue. I'm a famous pursuer, so I can make my own
right.
rules of pursuit.
So we've all been playing into these pillars, you know, whatever, like the like foundation, whatever the fuck we've been raised with. Yes. Yeah.
And also on top of that, I think you have to go with like what your personality is, you
that's
know,
true.
Like everyone's an individual and like, I might feel that's just out of my comfort zone to be at the airport and ask some dude out. But
and therefore,
for some people,
and therefore
they
you
should.
Really shouldn't that, in a
right,
good way.
Because it's not,
way.
It's
yeah.
not who I am, but like someone else that might be totally in their comfort zone. So it shouldn't be about gender. It's just be about like your personality maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was annoyed with myself that I felt that I felt suddenly
the desire to protect these men.
Well, that I felt suddenly insecure about listening to. I don't know. It was an odd
really
reaction. And thanks. I don't know if it's that interesting, but thank
no,
you.
No, it is actually. I think they're like I said. It's so layered.
Yeah.
It's like it's all connected to the
and
same.
And then I'm like, here's like pita and hummus and. You
do you
know,
always feed
falafel.
People who come to your house?
I didn't do the best job with you guys. I'm
but
really
it's
sorry
something.
About that.
Well,
on the ground.
All right, Moshe, you need to leave, right?
Yeah, I gotta
right,
go. I wish I could stay all day.
I love this so much. Thank you guys both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
what a fun podcast.
This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our pleasure. She's